It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. Lots of news about Windows Phone, Windows 8.1, Windows Threshold, and even the new version of Microsoft Office. It's all ahead next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 365, recorded June 4th, 2014. $0. Windows Weekly is brought to you by IT Pro TV. Are you looking to upgrade your IT skills or prepare for certification? IT Pro TV offers engaging and informative tutorials streamed to your Roku, computer, or mobile device. For 30% off the lifetime of your account, go to itpro.tv/ww and use the offer code WW30. And by audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/windows. And by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster, easier, and cheaper. Post your job to 50-plus job boards with one click. Try ZipRecruiter for a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/windows. That's ZipRecruiter.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover all your Microsoft stories, all the news, analyze it deeply with two of the best, in fact, the best Microsoft analysts in the business, Mr. Paul Thurrott from the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com, Ms. Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com, the ZDNet Microsoft blog. These two, if they don't know about it, it didn't happen. They are the kings. Paul, where are you? You're somewhere different.
I am in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Ah, Fort Collins.
About the home offices of Windows IT Pro, or Penton, I guess we must call it.
Collins. Is that where WWV is? The Time radio station? I think it is.
Oh, that's in Boulder. I'm not sure. The Atomic Clock is in Boulder.
The Atomic Clock is in Boulder. The cesium. Yes, it is. You know what? Because it's at the University of Colorado there, and I remember looking in the little window.
Yeah.
I'm watching it glow. So here we are to talk about Microsoft. This is going to be a tough month for Microsoft because both Google and Apple have big announcements and are going to get a lot of press. And Microsoft had its...
Fortunately for everybody, Apple announced nothing this week, so we're all set.
Oh, let the wars begin.
So that was one bullet dodged.
Yeah, actually, Microsoft took aim at Google, not at Microsoft. Apple to
Well, there's one little petty bit I'd like to get to later in the show.
Oh, somebody called
it? I'll call it Apple's bad math.
Bad math, lie. There's, you know, it's it's not a lie. Nothing they said was untrue.
There needs to be a better term for when you cherry pick facts.
Right.
And present them in an uncontextual fashion.
Right.
It's called lying. Right, sorry, there is a word for that. My mistake.
Misrepresenting. It's not a. It's
you know
not
what,
a
though,
false
the real
statement.
World is, let's, we'll get to this later. All right.
We don't want to nitpick or cherry pick. So let's start off with Windows 8 and the Start menu. Yeah.
This is Mary Jo's deal, but I just wanted to mention up front that we are clearly on some kind of a roller coaster here.
What do you mean by that, Paul?
She'll explain, but it is right. It's crazy.
Well, what's the story?
So, here's the story. Back at Build in early April, if everybody remembers, Terry Myerson, who runs the Windows division, showed off a couple features that he said would be in a future iteration of Windows. He showed off a new Start menu mockup. And he showed off the ability to take Metro-style apps and put them in Windows on the desktop. So we didn't know at that point whether those were going to be held until Threshold next year, which is spring 2015, or if they were going to come out as part of Update 2, which he never even announced existed. So right after Build, there were a bunch of leaks, and it turned out that they were going to try to get that new mini Start menu in Update 2. As of this week, we found out through some sources close to the company that the start menu is not going to be part of update 2. It's actually going to be in Threshold. And the reason Paul's saying roller coaster is that was the original plan that Paul had heard was right that the start menu was going to be held.
He didn't say Windows 8. He said a future version of Windows that could
correct.
Right. And that's part of the story, because when we talked to him, Terry Myerson at Build, he admitted that he was deliberately cagey about that because they didn't know when they would release that.
Could have gone either way.
It could have.
Well, yeah,
there were leaks, though, right after Build, if you remember. WZOR, however you pronounce his name, and I both got from our sources that Microsoft was going to put the start menu in update 2. I'm pretty sure they were going to do that. And now the plan has changed. And it is definitely, supposedly, definitely not being being put into update 2.
But, I don't really look at this as a negative thing, aside from the fact that it will not be later than we had hoped for. Because, really, the central truth here is that these guys are serious about delivering this stuff as fast as they can. And they did want to deliver it for update 2. And we don't know why that may not be happening now.
And when you guys, when you say start menu, you're not talking start button.
No.
It's like that's a real menu. Yeah, we got a start button, right.
Right. So this start menu inside Microsoft, they call it the mini start because it's not exactly, well, it's not actually the start menu we know today at all. It's a start menu that incorporates stuff that looks like the start menu kind of mixed in with the Metro style start screen interface.
Yeah, there's no reason that you couldn't make a better start menu. I don't think even the start menu fans would say, oh, it has to be exactly like Windows 7 start
menu. Leo, many of them would say that.
But what if you made it as, it's the functionality, at least for me, and I would guess for most normal people, it's the functionality you miss, not the particular look.
No, I'm on board with what you're saying, and I'm all for them offering it as an option. If they want to make it new and improved, I think that's absolutely fine. But I think it's also fair to say that the sad reality of the user base is that
they just want it.
No matter what they do, there will always be those people who complain. If they delivered the exact Windows 7 start menu as an option in Windows 8, there would be people who said, I don't understand why this thing can't have live tiles. I'm like, it can't do this extra stuff. Why did it have to be the same thing that they shipped 4 years ago or whatever? That's the way people are. I mean, that's the reality of the situation.
Well,
and if you want something that looks more like the start menu, you have choices out there. You have Start 8. You have Pokey. There's other start menus out there. You can just buy one and add it to your machine now.
That alone also leads to another level of complaining, which is if these third parties can so easily add a start menu to Windows, why cannot Microsoft, which of course has written Windows and owns the code? And, you know, I think we brought this up a few times in the podcast, that Microsoft's responsibility in delivering software to hundreds of millions, possibly a billion people, is much more than Stardocs or whoever's, they have to support all of the different languages and all of the different locales and all of the stuff that goes along with that. It's a much more complicated process for Microsoft to do anything.
Well, if you've got a billion users, some percentage is going to always be unhappy with whatever you do. So it's impossible to do anything. I mean, there's still a vocal contingent saying, where's our Esperanto version,
The types of people that would use, a Stardock product, right, which I really like. I like the Stardock stuff that I really like.
I love Stardate. I was very happy with it.
And Stardate, these are great applications.
It was like training wheels, though, because I got rid of it eventually. I felt I'm now ready to do it.
They're well done. They're well made. I am not criticizing the products at all, but you know, the audience for that is fairly minuscule compared to the audience for Windows. And so the types of people who might spend $5 on something like that are enthusiasts or business users or whatever. And, you know, they can handle certain little issues here and there. And it's just not as serious a venture as Windows. You know, it's just so putting this into Windows is a big deal. And, of course, we don't know why it's been delayed. But
so I have a theory why it was delayed. And this is based on a couple things I've talked with people about. I think it's ready. And I think they've decided we're done investing in Windows 8, the brand, and it's time to move to the next thing.
Already?
It's called.
Holy cow.
Yeah, because this brand, and I'm going to get a lot of hate for saying this, but it's the truth. This brand is tarnished. This brand is really tarnished. It's just exactly like Vista from a branding thing. Yeah. It's like people have decided that Windows 8 is a failure, and it doesn't matter what Microsoft does anymore to fix it. people have made up their mind. Like when I tell people I've bought a Windows 8 laptop, they're like, oh, isn't that that operating system that doesn't work?
Wow.
Isn't that broken?
They should call the next one the Mojave Project.
Right? Yeah, they should.
Wow. That's, of course, the famous A-B comparison, yeah, which people thought they really liked Windows Vista. Yeah. Turns out
it was Vista.
Yeah.
And, you know, so many people have said to me, oh, if they delay the start menu, boy, that's really going to hurt them with enterprise customers. Enterprise customers aren't buying Windows 8.1 or a Windows 8.
Yep.
There are some who are. But all the ones I talk to are saying, you know, I'm just deploying 7 still right now. And maybe I'll look at 9, but I'm definitely not looking at 8. I don't think it's going to hurt them to do this.
I don't think so either. And this is the lie of enterprise computing, where this just came up this week here in the office with in the context of enterprises moving to the cloud. You know, a lot of these companies are saying, I don't want to do this. We have this on-prem infrastructure and investment and so forth, yada, yada, yada. You know, the reality is these companies were not upgrading to the next version of Exchange or the next version of SharePoint or the next version of anything. They're not upgrading. That's not how these things work. They roll something out and they use it for a long time. The cloud is just an excuse, just like Windows 8 is an excuse. They're not upgrading. So we can pretend that there's like this specific reason, and we can come up with all these reasons for, you know, the cloud in particular, or Windows 8 in particular. But the truth is these companies move slow, and I'm not actually criticizing them for that. But it's weird how we dance around the central issue. And I do agree with Mary Jo that it doesn't matter in the slightest. They could call this thing yogurt for all it matters. It's they're not going to adopt it anyway. So
yeah, my biggest question out of all this is, okay, I think they still go forward with Windows 8 update 8.1 update 2. I think that's still going to happen. Yeah. I think it's still going to happen in August. So what's in it now?
What is it? Yeah, exactly. Yep.
It could be a lot of under the covers tweaks and features, you know, reliability and performance and all those kind of things. And maybe there won't be any end user facing features in it. We just don't know right now what's going to be in that. I mean, I'm sure they know, but we who are watching the company don't know. So, yeah.
And if the timing is really August, September, which is sort of what you're thinking, right? August, September.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It seems like this week, you know, we're going to talk about Computex in a little while, but Computex is kind of a time to roll out machines for the fall, for the back to school season, for the holiday season and so forth. You know, next gen Intel processors, new features and all that stuff. It seems like if 8.2 was going to have some substantive end user benefit, that maybe this might have been the time to start talking about that, you know, and they didn't mention anything like that.
No, they showed off some Broadwell stuff, mm-hmm, or at least talked about Broadwell, but they didn't say what from an operating system standpoint will change when right. those processors come out, if anything does, you know.
Yep.
All right.
So, yeah.
So there you go. That's probably 15 minutes that you'll never get back talking about the start menu.
Leo, we have comfortably settled into our lot in life today. So, you know.
Okay.
This is just wow. Another Wednesday.
Yeah. Start menu. Windows 8, Windows 9. Where will it be?
I can tell you. I know it sounds crazy that you think people care this much about it.
No, they do.
I think there are like 160 comments on my post that what I wrote about this, and so many emails and so many tweets, and people went nuts. So it's even though we are kind of making light of it, it's like, yeah, people really do care. They want to know why this is happening.
About what we'll never know, but they care.
Well, and for me, I missed it. But of course, any change, you miss it. And then I did use Start 8 for a while, and I got used to it. And I'm very comfortable with the charms and the swipes. And, I hit that Windows key. Boy, that's like a reflex, and it's fine. I'm not.
Listen, Windows 9 or whatever they call it, it's going to ship next year, and it will have this stupid start menu in it. And people are going to say, why did they even bother doing this? It's so unnecessary. And, you know, it's.
But that's the problem. You cannot please a billion people. Everybody will have a different, you know.
Yeah.
I
guess it's a great problem to have in some ways. And it's a terrible problem in others. But
yeah.
I mean, we don't know if every SKU of Windows 9 or Threshold is going to have the start menu. That's another question that a few people asked, you know, mm-hmm, will every version of it have it? I wouldn't think that you'd have it on really small tablets. And you definitely, I would think, are not going to have it on the phone. Right. So,
who would ever put a start menu on a phone?
Gee, let me think. Yeah. Was that 6 or 6.5? I think it was.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it may not be on everything too, and we don't know. Again, that's another one we don't know if it where it shows up, if you pay for it or not. I mean, Microsoft's moving towards a more free upgrade model for Windows, but we again don't know if every SKU is going to be free. Maybe if enterprises really want the start menu, Microsoft would say you have to pay something for that. I don't know. A lot of I don't knows. So
it's like an a la carte. A la carte. I can't speak.
A la carte. Yeah.
I had a crazy Boston moment the other day. I described water coming out of a water thing, which
a bubbler.
It's just insane. Oh, that's how I say it. It was like water coming out of the water thing.
that water thing,
a la carte. You know, it's like a configurator where you can add features to Windows as you go, you know. Would you like the start menu with your Windows? Yes, I would.
I hate to move on or anything. Have we completely?
I think we've beaten this to death, yeah.
Yeah, we've completely destroyed that topic.
You know, and I do want to address the cloud thing, because I think you're absolutely right, Paul. Businesses just don't upgrade. But that is one of the points kind of cloud, at least from the vendor's point of view, like Microsoft, but also I think from a lot of like IT guys point of view too, is once you're in the cloud, there are no more upgrades.
Well, or put another way, there are nothing but upgrades.
Right, but you don't worry about them.
That are forced on you, essentially.
Right. You don't have to do anything. You just
and that remains there. To be seen.
Let the upgrades wash over you.
Oh, they sure do. Especially when things go wrong.
We were talking yesterday at our engineering meeting about the Emory University problem. You heard about that, right? Fortunately, the students had left. They use a maintenance tool, an IT tool that we're actually going to use. I think it's called SCCM. It allows them to do on it, you know, installs across the network and so forth. Yeah. And Emory University, something had a hiccup, and they started erasing all the computers and installing a new, fresh Windows 7 distro on them, including the SCCM computer.
Nice. In my final act of self-sacrifice.
It was like computer MLA.
That's great.
It was incredible.
Didn't say, I'm sorry, Dave.
Yeah. A Windows 7 deployment image somehow accidentally sent to all the Windows machines on campus, laptops, desktops, and servers. It started with repartition, reformat.
This is like a bad joke. It's the rise of the robots. You know?
Had students been there, it really might have been a bigger issue. But it's but what I told Russell, who's installing SCCM on our systems, is that that's the testament to the power of SCCM that they were able to reverse it and get everybody back running within a day.
So I'll just say the same general thing I say every time someone brings up a blue screen photo in an airport or in a kiosk or whatever, to which is, hey, at least they're using Windows.
Yeah. Hey, it's market share. That's all we care about. Yeah. And I loved it. There was a lovely. They've taken it down now. But at Emory's IT
incident,
they call it the Windows 7 incident. And there was a lovely log of all the things at minute by minute as it just completely dissolved itself. But they got it back.
Yeah. So, well, that's
there you go.
Yay! System Center Configuration Manager.
And I guess I should. Oh boy, big story just coming across here. GoPro has named Tony Bates as its president.
Yeah.
Oh, they deserve him.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah, he was, Tony, of course, Bates, the former head of Skype and CEO candidate at Microsoft, is now the president of GoPro.
He's not the CEO, though, oddly enough.
No, which is surprising because he wanted to be a CEO. Yeah. So there you go.
GoPro does.
Maybe it's just a step on the way to be.
Yeah. Well, the founder is a CEO, and I presume.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go.
Well, we'll never hear from him again. And
Unless he's jumping out of something.
Yeah. I always sort of anticipated that end for him.
Wow.
Wow. Don't they make like adventure camera equipment? Is that what they do?
Oh, you don't know? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No.
The helmet-mounted camera thing.
I have GoPros that you can mount on every device, go underwater. It's great. They're really great, actually.
Oh, wow.
It's a great product. Not a unique product. Pretty much everybody makes the same thing. But GoPro's marketing is better than anybody's. GoPro was the one that sponsored the guy who jumped out of the rocket ship.
Yeah. They're like the Kleenex of those kind of things, because you think pro when you think of that device.
Well, that's a GoPro. No, well, it's not, but it looks just like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. That was a little sideline, but I wanted to get the breaking, the breaking news in.
It was good because I don't think we have that in our show notes. So could we mention that?
Yeah. Let's take a break. When we come back, we could talk about that toxic health stew we know as anger. If Google's smart, the next version of Android should just be toxic health stew.
I would love that.
Yeah, Android toxic health stew. Our show today brought to you by good buddies at IT Pro TV. You know, we talk a lot. We just were about the kinds of things that IT pros go through. The things you need to know. I have a very high respect for anybody who can manage a bunch, you know, thousands of users and all the situation and everything. But, you know, getting that job requires a little bit of skill and often, as they said in The Wizard of Oz, a piece of paper, the certification. IT Pro TV is the place to go to get your certs faster, easier, and frankly, with a lot more fun. Tim and Don, by the way, sent me that giant mug that, you know, the coffee mug, and I don't know where that's gone off to. I think somebody's used it as a chamber pot. And they also sent me this giant mug with the IT Pro Hearts twit.tv. They're great guys there. I'm fans of what they're doing. It's very much like what we're doing. In fact, they say inspired by Twit and Tech TV and the screensaver. So they built a studio kind of like our studio with cameras, TriCasters, the whole thing. And they broadcast. They do about 30 new hours every week of content. But instead of being, you know, the kind of the general broad enthusiast content we do, it's focused on IT professionals. And more importantly, on the certs you need to become an IT professional or to polish your skills. The CompTIA, Microsoft, Cisco, they've got A+, CSENT, NET+, Security+, MCSA. They're doing security now too, ISC squared stuff. With Adam Gordon, I don't know if you know his name, but he is the greatest. He's the guy. There, you can get the SSCP and the CISSP certs, network security, PC support, VLAN, subnetting, everything you need to know. If you go to the site right now, I think they're doing an upgrade right now. It says, "Hello, friends. We're currently upgrading to as we prepare to take over the world." And I got Pinky in the Brain. Your new overlords will return shortly. So I can't send you there right now, but I think within a few minutes they'll have finished the upgrade. I can't wait to see what they're doing. What's neat about IT Pro TV is they started advertising on this show, almost a year ago. I don't know. And they immediately started taking off. Their goal was to have 1,000 subscribers. They got 1,000 subscribers in the first month. Their goal, I think, was 10,000. I think they're close to 10,000 now. And it's because what they're doing is really what people need. It's an easier way to get the certs. You can watch them on your Roku. They have a Roku app or, of course, your computer, your laptop. If you subscribe for an annual subscription, which I recommend, not only will you save, you'll also be able to download episodes and audio-only MP3s on your device, listen on the airplane or wherever you are. They have the Measure Up practice exams included with your subscription. That's worth $79. They include the virtual machine sandbox lab environment. This is really sweet. I've got to get that set up so I can show you. But you, even if you don't have a server and a network, you do because you use the virtual machine on their site. And you can do all, you know, you can practice without really risking life and limb. Corporate accounts also available for departments and companies. You can find out more about that on the support page. If you're an individual, though, I do recommend you visit itpro.tv/ww. Upgrade your brain with the most popular certs recognized by employers. There is a free preview. I recommend that. There's live. They're often live when we are. They also have chat room, just like we do, which is great. Normally, it's very affordable, $57 a month, or subscribe for a year, it's $570. But because they love Twit and we love them, they've arranged a 30% offer for the lifetime of your account. 30% off if you use the offer code WW30. Now it's less than $40 a month, $399 for the entire year. Really a great deal. If it's time for you to polish up your skills, go to itpro.tv/ww and use the code WW30. For 30% off, itpro.tv/ww. The offer code is WW30. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, Leo Laporte, talking Windows on Windows Weekly. And moving along to item two, believe it or not. Android did not, when iPad got the Office, Android got kind of an Office, but it was one app. So you're saying they're now going to get the same thing, the same touch first Office that Apple has?
Mm-hmm. Right. We knew they were going to get a touch first Office suite with Word, Excel, and PowerPoint along with OneNote, which is what they already have. But we didn't know when. And everybody, I think, well, I can't say everybody, but I and many other people assumed Windows would be out the Android version. Like you'd have a Windows 8 version of the touch first apps first and then Android. But sources told me this week that that is not the case. And Microsoft's actually going to come out with the Office, the touch first Office suite for Android before Windows. And okay, that's kind of interesting, right?
Yeah.
Well, there'll be no complaints about that. I wouldn't worry about it.
But Satya Nadella said didn't he? He said that. He said,
we're going to go where the market is. We're going to be on devices where there's market share. That's why we came out with iPad first. And now it looks like they're going to come out with Android tablet second. Because again, why? Market share. That's why they're going to do that. And you know, it makes a lot of sense. It kind of infuriates a lot of people who bet on Windows and they're saying, hey, wait, we have Office on Windows, right?
We have a version of Office now that is more powerful than the version that they are disgruntled
right.
over.
Right. But we don't have a touch first version of Office on Windows.
And you may not want that.
We do have a touch capable version of Office. It's
right. You may not want that.
It's sort of touchy. Right.
Touch first, though, and this has been my experience. I can use Office on my Surface, but mm-hmm. the targets are small. It isn't touch first. It's a version of Office that supports touching it. But what I would love to see, and the iPad app is great. It's big targets.
You're right. I mean, you are right. But to be clear, Office 2013, if it detects you're on a keyboardless device with a touch screen, will switch automatically into kind of a touch mode where all the targets get bigger. And you can switch that manually if you have to or want to.
All right. Okay.
No, it's not great. It's definitely not touch first. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's basically a simple magnification type feature. But, mm-hmm. you know, there's some accommodation there.
Right.
Yeah. But the other part of this tip, which got people, I think, a little more kind of in a tizzy, was the Windows version isn't going to hit this year. It's supposed to hit now when threshold hits, which is spring 2015. So, again, if you think through from Microsoft... It makes sense, right? Because
sense.
This is when you're going to need this. Because Microsoft's building, supposedly, a SKU of threshold that is not going to have the desktop. When that happens, you're going to have a touch-first, Metro-style Windows Store-type Office. So the timing is all makes sense, but people are still incensed because they're saying, wait, what's the advantage now of being on Windows? I'm getting everything last instead of getting it first.
Boy.
Another one where people are complaining and Microsoft can't.
I get it, but I disagree with it. And as to the why for the timing, I would just say Windows 95 plus Office 95. You know, that combination of things was huge, and they kind of sold each other. Yeah. And I think if Mary Jo's right, and I think she is, about Microsoft wanting to distance itself from the Windows 8 brand, that whatever threshold is called, that thing plus this touch version of Office are kind of a nice 1-2 punch that erases the past and lets them move forward with something that's not just a new version of Windows, but look, it's this thing that you can also do with it.
Right. And you know what? We don't know about the Windows version. We don't know a lot of things. We know there's going to be Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and a new version of OneNote, but there may be more apps too. A lot of people have speculated maybe there'll be things like Visio or Project or some of these other Office
Visio
apps.
Lends itself beautifully to touch first. I guess Project would too. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, so we don't know if that's another reason that this may be later because we're going to get more if we're on Windows. We don't know that for a fact. Some people are speculating that or at least hoping it. They're hoping that the wait.
I was just going to say that since we're going down the rabbit hole, it's possible that the plan for Office Touch was to add more apps over time. And now if they are going to wait until next spring, they can deliver it all as one new kind of Office.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah, I feel like this week I was the bearer of bad news, and I kind of got hammered for it.
Well, right. Hey, on behalf of Android users everywhere, we love you, Mary Jo.
Yep, and somebody said, right, Neil LaPorte's going to love this news.
I love you,
Mary. Did you get your invitation to Google I.O. yet, Mary Jo?
Yeah, I'm waiting. Maybe I'll be in the front row with my Surface Pro.
Actually, you know, after Apple's announcements yesterday, I'm pretty sure that I'll be going to an iPhone in the fall.
Really?
So, well,
okay. I wouldn't base it on what I saw the other day, but if Apple moves to like a, you know, a 5-inch-ish
bigger iPhone, bigger screen is one issue. Yep. Better keyboard. I could never use the Apple keyboard, and the stupid always uppercase just infuriates me.
When iOS 7, that's insane. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're now offering third-party keyboards. They're offering extensions, which allows apps to speak better. Interoperability is a big thing in Android. It doesn't happen at all in iPhone.
Can I call it Olay?
Yeah. That's what I said. I said, oh, how exciting. We're bringing back DDE. But I've looked at how they're implementing it, and it's actually smart. It probably is very similar to the way Microsoft did it years ago.
Of course. You know, right. I mean,
it's a standalone application that is packaged within the application. It's, you know, it's a separate binary. It has very specific things it can and cannot do. And that's good because it preserves security, the security model, but still lets apps talk to each other. And I think that's the right thing to do. And this home thing intrigues me if they do the home automation stuff. So there's a few things that, and I get, it's tentative. Of course, implementation has to happen. And, you know, you could say I'm going to do it.
When you see the great new Chinese Windows phones that are coming out this spring.
I can't wait. I can't wait. So Touch Office.
Yep.
Gemini,
and the one last thing.
Yeah.
Yep. The desktop versions of Office apps, which a lot of people also are interested in and waiting for, supposedly that could be a spring 2015 thing, too. So if you're somebody who doesn't really care about the Touch First implementation, know that Microsoft is working on desktop versions, too, for Windows, and that it's looking like spring. It could be.
Is that kind of the point you were making, Paul, which is a simultaneous release of desktop of the full Office plus the Touch Office on the Windows?
Well, yeah. I mean, Satya Nadella last week talked about how Microsoft basically has done two big things, possibly two and a half if you include Xbox. And I'm sorry, three big things. Or three and a half. Those three big things being Windows, Windows Server, and Office. And they've never seen greater success than when two of those things are updated at the same time. They always try to do the better together thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so a lot of times you see Windows and Server come out at the same time. A lot of the times you'll see Windows and Office come out at the same time.
It makes total sense.
Even if it's semi-artificial in the sense that Office Touch Canon should run on Windows 8, by positioning them as these kind of unique releases that kind of rely on each other, I think they have the potential, at least, to put that kind of Windows 8 taste in your mouth behind you, you know?
Right. Yeah,
that bad aftertaste.
Well, the excitement
it's like,
is
Windows
doubled.
7? Yeah, what is that?
Yeah. And the way, and it, again, it speaks to the way corporations acquire stuff. They don't want to piecemeal it. They want to kind of do it. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm thinking about us. We're building new edit suites, and, you know, we could string it out, or we could just buy five or six new Windows machines and put Creative Cloud on it and just and be done with it. And it makes much more sense for us to do it that way, frankly.
Right.
And so, you know, put what you need on it all at once and get it all done.
So the difference between your business and an enterprise will be determined on how quickly you then want to upgrade those things to some future version.
Okay, yep. I'm in the engineering meeting yesterday, and they tell me we're using Snow Leopard, which is like four versions ago.
Okay,
Macintosh.
So you are in fact an enterprise,
and I'm saying, yeah, we are. Yeah, and the reason is it works. Is that right?
To be fair,
Alex says
you ruined
Snow Leopard
the software industry.
Is the same age as Windows 7, so it's very much like using Windows 7. It's the same.
It's good to be on something that works, tried and true.
You don't mess around with your production machines. I'm gonna install the latest, greatest on every one of my machines. But when it comes down to the editors, and you know, when we don't get Windows Weekly out within 2 hours of finishing the show,
sure,
believe me, we hear about it big time.
Yeah, it's the Twitter apocalypse. Yeah. I've seen it.
Yep.
So you can't mess with that stuff. So we're not going to upgrade. It makes perfect sense. Office and is updated, and we get the tablet version. Oh, great. We'll do it all at once. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep. Might as well do it with Threshold too.
Yep.
Do it all at once. And it multiplies the excitement, doesn't it? I mean, that's also the other thing. There's marketing value.
It will. Yeah. Today it's multiplying the disappointment. But yes.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. But, you know, like you said, Paul, and it's true. You already have Office if you're on Windows 8. You have it as a desktop product. And if you're on a Surface RT or an ARM-based product, you have those apps that Microsoft includes for free.
So many people just get it for free. It's amazing how many PCs have that for free.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
So, come on, buck up.
Well, this is something that used to cost at least a couple $100.
You bet.
And often, you know, $500-$600, depending on which version you got.
The only reason I'll be mad next spring when Gemini comes out, the touch first for Windows, is if it isn't as good as the iPad and the Android.
There is no way that's going to happen.
Look what happened on Windows phones. That happens with apps, right? Sometimes the versions of Microsoft's own apps.
This is too core to what they do. They can't botch things.
Let's just keep our fingers crossed. I'm being an optimist. I think
I'm
going to
go on a limb and say that the Office team is one of the bright sparks at Microsoft, and they will not screw us over like that.
Okay.
All right. Good God help them if they try.
So and Threshold spring too, isn't it?
Yeah, Threshold, we still hear is spring 2015. And, you know, we don't know if it's going to be called Windows 9. It might not. We don't know.
What else would they call it?
Vista 2. Windows Panorama.
How about Windows 1?
Oh, yeah. O-N-E.
Microsoft.
O-N-E.
You can just write the Microsoft resets Windows headlines right now.
Yeah, that's good. Reset. Yeah. That's what you, by the way. That's probably what you want.
Yeah. You want to kind of wash away the recent past if you can.
Branding wise. What if it came with that touch first version of Office?
Uh-huh.
Yep. I thought about that too. What if we get it for free and the Android and the iOS users have to pay? Then that takes some of the sting.
All that bitter sweat of disappointment just evaporates in the cold, hard sunlight of free stuff.
We can get that New Orleans funeral going for Android and iOS.
Oh, man. No.
Goodbye, toxic hell stew.
Break out the floats. We're doing it again.
No. Oh, God.
Mission accomplished. So you said something about Computex. This is the, I think, not as well known, but because it's in Taiwan, but it's the big, really the big conference.
I mean, I think
hardware.
It's fair to say it completely overshadowed WWDC this week. It is an enormous industry-wide show that, hello?
What? we spent the whole week talking about it, Paul.
Yeah, well, sure.
You know, somebody put up on Google. Somebody put up on Google Plus. Google just spent $1 billion to launch geosynchronous satellites to provide internet to the entire world. Microsoft announced Apple announced a font change, and they get all the press.
Of course.
No, it's like, don't try to break news anywhere near an Apple event.
I'm going
to
get this a little off, but the day before the WWDC opened, I think it was Forbes, had a headline that says something to the effect of, the biggest half year in Apple's history is about to begin.
Oh, no.
And, like, seriously. Seriously.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's insane.
Oh, no.
It's crazy. And that's the world we live in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? I don't know how to change
I don't know
that.
How many times they just have to announce. By the way, what they announced was fine. But how many times does that have to happen before we realize it's not the second coming?
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Like, just stop doing it. I don't know. I don't understand.
You sound a little bitter, Paul. I'm going to say.
No, it's just I feel like it's biased and unfair, and it's.
But it's the bias of the users. You think it's the media's own bias, or is it?
I think it's driven in part by the media. I think they get caught up in it.
But users also. I mean, look at.
You know what? It's like CNN focusing on the plane when war was breaking out in the Ukraine.
Right.
You know, it's just wrongheaded, and contrary to what they're supposed to be doing. That's all.
Yeah.
I don't mean to get off.
We got a little bit larger download numbers for the WWDC event than the Surface Pro launch, just a little.
But what about the Computex event? What were those numbers like?
We didn't do the Computex. Okay, let's talk. This is it. I imagine on This Week at Computer Hardware, they'll spend some time on it as well, because Ryan goes, and it is really it's a hardware show.
Leo, the other thing that would have screwed this up is that, if I'm not mistaken, the Microsoft press conference started at 12:30 in the morning Eastern Standard Time or something like that.
Not that good.
No, that was Pacific time, so it was probably 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You're in Taiwan. You can't really.
They didn't stream it either, so yeah.
Right. So, that would have been a great live blog.
Is it just a hardware show, or is it also a it's a hardware show, right?
No, it's very much about hardware.
Yeah.
It's an OEM show, right? I mean, it's for PC makers, hardware makers.
Right. And what did we see? Because I wasn't looking.
Yeah. Well, we only know from reports since it, again, it wasn't streamed. We read the keynote address that Microsoft did and all. And they talked up both Windows Phone and Windows 8, and they showed a lot of hardware. They showed a lot of 2-in-1s that are running Windows 8.1 from Hewlett-Packard, Toshiba, all their big OEM partners. They talked about how Broadwell is going to make it into some models of machines this fall, like that Acer S7 that I have. They said there's going to be a Broadwell version of that this fall around the holidays.
You know what I'm doing now? I'm skipping generations. So I have the pre-Haswell. I cut spot it, so I couldn't buy the Haswell. Now I'll buy the Broadwell.
Sure.
Yep.
Makes sense, right?
Yep. And they also showed off, interestingly, a 7-inch tablet that they developed in conjunction with Toshiba that runs Windows 8.1. And I think they're saying it's going to, I don't know if they announced the price, but it may be the smallest tablet, pure tablet running Windows 8.1.
Seven inches. Wow.
Yeah, 7 inches. So obviously that tablet and a bunch of the other ones that they showed, because of the screen size, anything under 9 inches gets free Windows from Microsoft. So the OEMs get the get Windows for free.
No, Mary Jo, I have to correct you there.
Yes.
There's no such thing as free Windows. It's $0 licensing.
You are right.
We're not allowed to say free Windows.
$0.
That's right. Windows is not free. For some odd reason. I know.
With why Bing or without Bing?
I mean, seriously, don't you find that horrible?
I know, but $0. Do you know why? Is it because
it's got to be a legal thing? I think once you give something away, it enters into a different type of product or something.
I hope it's a legal thing.
I know
it's got to be because
if it's a circumlocution, it's nasty.
$0 licensing.
$0.
Yeah. Like, do you need change, or can I just keep the rest? Of
I don't have a $0 bill. Can I owe you?
Yeah.
Can't crack a zero.
Nope.
We know that.
And they also showed a bunch of new Windows phones from different OEM partners. A lot of them we are not household names here in the
that's
U.S.
That's a nice way to put it.
I thought that was diplomatic.
Yep. Well, that's good.
Yeah. And they showed some of these have already kind of snuck out in different preview forms. But there was the I'm looking at the list here. Prestigio.
Yes. The Yes Billy?
The Yes Billy, which is named after Bill Gates.
You need to look this up. So look up Yes, which is Y-E-Z-Z. What I've discovered
is it's named after
devices.
Bill Gates. This is crazy.
So all of their devices have a guy's name.
Nobody ever called Gates Billy ever.
No.
But you know what? It's a nice looking device.
Well, it's colorful.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the one that will be sold in the United States. For $250 without a contract. I think this is the one. Is this the
one?
It
is. Yep.
Yep.
Kind of looks like an HTC One.
I don't. Is that the.
Oh, wait.
Right
one? These are blue.
No, those are other ones. Yep.
That's blue.
I think
here's
they have
the multi phone duo. And
yeah, there it is.
Here's the Yes Billy. Yeah.
By the way, that is a nice looking phone.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a Lumia, actually.
Yeah.
And these are what is the chief feature of these? These are not high.
Spec it's
phones.
A no contract phone.
They're inexpensive.
It's probably I think what I'd call it is kind of a mid-level phone. Mid-level. It has a 13 megapixel camera. Right? I mean, we'll see how good that is.
Good,
but
yeah.
Nice colors, good looking machine. I think it's that new market we've been talking about where these companies are starting to walk away from the contract model.
And Windows Phone is $0 as well.
Yep.
No, that one's free.
It is. It's either free or $0. One of those.
It's hard to say.
Just don't call it Libre.
Right.
Windows Libre.
You know, there were so many of these new devices, right? And it really shows you where Microsoft's trying to kind of establish itself with Windows Phone, which is that mid to lower end of the market. Where they can just be the volume player. And you know what? That's been their heritage in the past, being high volume, low cost player. And they're, you know, maybe they're still going to have high end devices, obviously, with Nokia, having just purchased Nokia, but it's not going to be their main focus, right? At least right now, I don't think, with Windows Phone.
Yes, Billy's not cheap. Oh, it's absolutely not $50 unlocked. I mean, it's not. Yeah. It's not. Yeah. You're right. It's mid-range.
It's not a bottom end phone, but right. It's actually a really nice looking phone. It's nice to have choices, more choices, right?
Yeah. I mean, the names of these companies are hilarious.
HTC, the other rumor. Did you see that, Paul? HTC rumored to be bringing back a new Windows Phone. Ev Leaks had some screenshots of that on Verizon. That looks like that could be a higher end.
Yeah, I wish HTC. You know, Mary Jo and I had gone to that press conference. You know, whenever that was, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, where they introduced the 8X and the 8S, and we were both really impressed by that. Mary Jo had the phone until fairly recently.
It was your daily driver, yeah.
And I used it as well for a good 9 months or so. But, you know, what happened with HTC was that was the end of it, you know. And so they kind of announced that stuff, and then they went on and they did their Android stuff, and they never refreshed anything. They never came back. And, you know, one of the things I liked about Nokia, aside from, you know, Microsoft buying them, was just that they were constant iteration, lots of accessories, apps, services. I mean, they were just really all in with that stuff. And I welcome them back, HTC, and I hope that this is a nice device, nice design. Yeah. They did a great job with that previous generation, but it's been like, you know, two years.
A long time. Well, they've fallen on hard financial times, right?
Yeah.
HTC.
Yeah.
And
it's because they didn't go device, all in with Windows Phone.
Is that why? Okay. No. Okay. This is called, at least right now, called the W8. Coming to Verizon Q3, runs Windows Phone 8.1, based on the A9. Look for the boom sound and duo cameras from Android to come over.
Interesting.
To
Interesting.
Oh. Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Know, the 8X had the Beats audio, which
they call it boom sound because they sold off. And I use the M8, which is their Android version of this. And the nice thing about boom sound or the Beats for the year before was it had left to right stereo speakers in the front of the phone, which is where you want them to be.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they'll do that with their W8, but... that would be cool.
Well, that again raises that specter of why can't they just release that device
and put
Windows on it? You know,
Well, it strikes me that must be what they're doing if they're putting this camera in and the boom sound. I'm thinking.
Such a terrible name.
Boom sound. You know what's funny? It sounds just like Beats.
Chakalaka.
Boom goes the sound. I think that would be a good thing.
Me too. I'm really, really interested to see it. Not that I'm going to dump my nice icon or anything, but I might get another phone.
I love the 1920. Right. But, you know, stand back because the problem is the iteration in Android is so fast. Already, the new G3 from LG is everybody's going, ooh, that's the phone. It's got an ultra high an UHD
just
screen.
Wait till Sunday. There'll be another one.
I know.
It happens so quickly.
I'm trying to decide if it's because I've only had the M8 for a few months. I think I'm due for a G3, but will there be enough time between the G3 and the iPhone 6?
Right.
Or will that really look pretty bad that I dumped it so fast?
I don't think you should worry about how it looks. I mean,
I do. I'm all about appearances, Paul.
I see. Well, then I think you need to get a new phone every 2 months, so I'd go with the G3 and then get an iPhone 6.
Yep.
The 1520 is still gorgeous. I love it. It's sitting on my desk and just shining. It's a beautiful phone. Beautiful phone. But it doesn't have some of the games I need. And, you know, sometimes you just go with a phone that does the things you need it to do and just leave it at that.
Listen, there's nothing stopping you from being pragmatic. You know, it's okay. You know, this is not a religious discussion.
I want to put up a big post on Google Plus saying I'm switching to the Yes Billy. So there. Yep. What other names?
There you go.
You said they name their phones after people?
Yeah, I saw an Andy, which is an Android phone, by the way. Guess what it's named after?
Andy the Android.
Andy Not Andy Rubin. Grove, as I had hoped.
Andy Rubin.
Andy Rubin.
The Billy, the Andy. Well, that's cool. And Stevie, the Timmy. I think they made an iPhone. They call it the Timmy.
The Little Timmy.
The Little Timmy.
It's a mini phone. It comes with a little kickstand. It looks like a crutch. It's like a little, holds up Little Timmy.
Sheesh. I'm looking him up now to see what else he has. I see lots of Andy's.
Yeah. Okay, so Andy must be the whole product.
I'm glad HTC is going to do a Windows Phone. You know, they're struggling so hard in the market. And, and guess to add insult to injury, they sold their stake in Beats, and then Apple comes along and pays like three times what they paid for it. And it's just got to be frustrating. Mm. 2-in-1 Windows 8 devices. What are we talking here?
Yeah.
What
I don't
know
if Paul's a big fan of these. These are those devices like the Surface Pro 3, you know, that they work both as a tablet and a PC, and you can... Yoga Pro is another...
I call them convertibles.
Convertibles, right? Yeah. Convertibles.
Well, you know what? There are different kinds, though, because the things you're talking about, the screen pops off.
Right.
So it's a tablet or it's a laptop.
Right.
And that's where the 2-in-1 comes from. Some of these devices are a little more nuanced, you know, like a Yoga Pro type device where the screen swivels around. Yeah. I think of those as like transforming PCs.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they're like 5-in-1s or, you know.
Yeah, true.
So you got your convertibles, and you got your transformers, you got your strap-ons, I mean snap-ons, you got your snap-offs.
I'm looking for one that has like the fins like we used to see on the cars in the 50s.
Right.
Wouldn't that be sweet?
Like racing stripes.
Oh, yeah, baby.
You know?
I don't know. I'm not a convergence person, so I just don't really like any of these, and that's why I didn't buy
machines. I go back and forth, right? So I think that... Well, I think that this is kind of the future of the PC.
I hope not, but I fear yes.
And, you know, I'm sitting here using a tablet, which it's funny. I took pictures of this. I don't know how I could possibly show it to you now, but it's disconnected from the type cover because it's a little high, because otherwise you'd be looking up at my chin. And I'm using, because this office has a PC in it, I just stole the keyboard from that PC, plugged it into the, you know, that little... USB, you know, device that you recommended that has Ethernet.
Clever, yeah.
And so what is this thing now? So now I've in front of me, what I see is, it's a 2-in-1 basically, right?
It's a desktop PC with a very small screen.
I think we've lost Mary Jo.
No. Oh, she's silent. I can't.
We've lost Mary Jo. We have a Mary Jo down.
Hear you.
Just this is why we all need to learn sign language.
There. Oh, something did something.
There, got it.
Thank you.
Something happened.
You fixed it.
She like kicked something. Yeah.
She's magic.
I don't know what just happened. My microphone went dead. She's
magic. You're the magic woman. Visual Studio VS14. And they're going to use a brand new language, C Swift. No.
Or as I call it, Apple's version of Visual Basic. We're going to take all of the greatness of C and just strip away the semicolons and pretend it's something new. What, are you kidding me? Are you serious? Like, this is the problem with your developer environment. The language.
The language, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, anyway, sorry. I'm okay. I like Apple. I really do. Visual Studio.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Next version.
Your lack of faith disappoints me.
Is at least consistent.
Codename is Visual Studio 14, which is not the final name because this product is going to ship in 2015. They were supposed to do away with these number code names because they're super confusing, but it looks like they're still going to keep doing it.
Well, at least all of Microsoft is consistent.
Yeah. That's just... But it has a lot of really good stuff in it. This new version coming of Visual Studio. This is where the Roslyn compiler stuff gets built in. So that they've called that compiler as a service sometimes, and it affects your C Sharp and VB.
And it's open source.
Is it?
It is open source. Yep.
Oh, interesting.
What else? New C# features, new Visual Basic features, new C++ features, bringing it more into compliance with 11.
Good. And 14, like two different standards.
14, right. And ASP.NET vNext, also the tooling for that is now part of the preview that came out this week. So that's the thing called Project K, also open source, and that's the future of .NET on the server. So a lot of really, really good stuff, even just in this first preview build. Pretty cool.
Yeah. I haven't downloaded it yet, but I'm yeah.
It's no curious. Swift.
I've been distracted by Swift. Yeah, I'll get to it after I.
Yeah, after I'm sure you've been working with Swift and
actually one of the things that okay I know you Swift think evangelist. It's stupid, but one of the things yes. that they're doing that's interesting with Swift is they're trying to eliminate some of the less secure constructs of C and Objective C, and well, and so kind of to promote security, which I think is a good thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
The problem is, you know, I think we're at the point now where we don't necessarily need yet another C-like language, and that maybe they could have, I don't know, gone with C-sharp or
yeah, something. That'll happen. What are you, nuts? What are you smoking over there in Colorado?
Listen, as Mary Jo will be explaining very soon, Apple and Microsoft are
tight,
you know,
tight, huh?
They're good. They're good.
They're good? I was surprised Bill Gates didn't show up at WWDC. Just to say something nice.
Yeah, if only as like a spectral emperor style like hologram right. up on the wall, you know.
Hello, Tim. Good. Well, we like Visual Studio, and I'm glad that they keep that train a chugging. You know, we haven't said anything about Xbox lately. Anything you'd like to say about that, Paul? Do you bring your Xbox with you when you travel?
You know, it's funny. I actually hard to believe. I brought a couple of iOS devices with me on this trip because, as you know, I'm a huge Apple fan and often travel with such things. But I did that because I knew WWDC was happening. I figured they'd release some software that I might want to check out. And right, so that was great. I can't travel with an Xbox One because it's the size of a Volkswagen. And, of course, this week, actually, a lot of stuff did happen on Xbox. And so I'm going to have to wait till I get home. So there's a bunch of stuff happening here. One, we know that Microsoft had previously announced that they were decoupling Xbox Live Gold from a lot of those entertainment apps. And so that will come out as part of the June system update for both Xbox One and Xbox 360. And so those apps like Netflix and Hulu Plus and all that stuff no longer requires an Xbox Live Gold subscription. So that's happening starting, I think, today or yesterday. The June system update for Xbox One includes some additional stuff like external storage support. I think we talked about this earlier, so that's happening. They made a separate announcement today that 45 new entertainment apps were coming to Xbox, meaning both Xbox One and Xbox 360.
Free, too.
$0. No, these are actually free. And HBO Go is the big one that I noticed.
Woohoo!
There's Twitter integration in Xbox One coming where it integrates into the guide. It integrates into TV. You can see what's trending and go and watch that show. Because I guess some people – I'm not really into technology, Leo. But apparently some people watch TV and they tweet.
It's so much
and
fun.
And so this will let you do it on the one screen.
I will
screen.
Be doing
so
it. I will be doing
there'll
it.
Be a, there'll be like a Twitter bar at the bottom and you can, you know, twiddly watch.
I am so stoked TV. About all of these features.
Yeah.
My Xbox One is my media. Well, I have, okay, it's the same. You know, I have an Apple TV in there. I have a TiVo in there. But I also have an Xbox One, and I love it.
I would have to say, with these announcements, I'm going to split this up a little bit because I made some of this part of a pick. But with these announcements and some of the other stuff I'll talk about later, I think all of a sudden, or at least whenever these things all happen, I mean, some of it's not happening until the end of the year, they finally have a pretty compelling case for the Xbox One being what they said it was in the original, which is this all-in-one entertainment thing that does everything.
I love it.
So it's getting there. It only took a year. But
Yeah. There are a few. I mean, it's okay.
Mary Jo's shaking her head.
You're passing. You can't believe we've been saying this.
I'm like,
do you even have a TV, Mary Jo?
I do not have a TV. Yes, I do not.
You are one
of them. Mary Jo could pull the Kool-Aid out of my hand right now, she would, but.
Yeah.
No, I think it's good. I think the best part of this week's Xbox announcement is they're making Microsoft's own apps free, which it's kind of weird. They weren't free before, right?
I know. Internet Explorer, OneDrive. Yep.
OneDrive. Yeah, what else?
Some of them still require that subscription. I think Xbox Music still requires two subscriptions. You know, the Xbox Live Music or the Xbox Music Pass and the Xbox Live Gold. But
kind of weird. OneDrive on Xbox didn't require a gold subscription
before,
right?
Thing to do to people.
I don't know. Kind of odd.
But. You know, I don't even know this because I have gold. Most people have gold, right?
They shouldn't have to have gold if they're not playing games has always been my
argument.
You're right. And to be honest, I don't think they should have to have gold, period. I've always found this thing to be just a cheap thing to do. But
yeah.
Anyway, it's slowly happening.
Sony doesn't charge for their premium stuff.
Well, actually, they haven't historically, but with the PS4, they added a paid tier that is a little bit like Xbox Live Gold in that it has some multiplayer gaming functionality that I'm not 100% sure on. But I want to say it's something like matchmaking and that kind of stuff, I believe. I will joyfully read all of the corrections via email that I'll get to that statement. But I think it's something like that.
The chat room says, yes, they charge for stuff. But
no. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Thank okay. you.
Thank you.
Let me write that in my diary. Somebody agree with me.
Forty-five new entertainment apps is pretty cool. I'm thrilled about
it's a pretty big
HBO
list.
Go. You have the list on your site, right?
Yep.
So I'm just scrolling down the list. It's kind of hard to believe there are 45 of them. Oh, good. Showtime, Comedy Central, Vine. Wow.
Yep.
Major League Gaming.
You know, MTV, NBA, NHL.
Crunchyroll.
Sci-fi, USA.
Wow, this is, you know, what this makes it is kind of comparable to a Roku at this point. The GoPro chair.
Yeah, it's a little bit like on-demand TV.
Radio.
You know, in the sense that it has a lot of those second-tier cable channels that are very popular.
Do you think, see, I would love to be on this list, and we haven't in the past because Xbox 360 required fairly significant investment, you know, a six-figure investment. Have they eliminated or simplified those requirements? Wow, TuneIn? They must have. Look at all these.
I'm sorry, which requirements?
Well,
for these developers to get on
Xbox. You
had
to get certified, and what Microsoft says, really need to use our developers, and that was over $100,000, and Revision 3 didn't, but it took them a long time to get it certified. And
I don't know anything about that. I would assume it's $0.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Love that.
It has always been very expensive.
Yeah, well, and that's what keeps us off that platform. And, you know, people ask me all the time, when can I get you on the Xbox?
Yep.
Would love to.
I still hold out hope. And by the way, E3's next week.
E3's next week? Holy cow.
Right. I think it is.
You're right. It snuck up
that
on us.
Microsoft will say Visual Studio Express for Xbox One. Anyone can make apps. They'll be in this, you know, curated store, the Xbox store, whatever, It just open it up.
Love to
just
see like that. I would love to see that. Yeah. And then we would get right on it.
I know nothing about that. I'm not. Right. I'm just simply speculating and hoping. That would be fantastic.
Actually, you do mock Apple, and I understand why. I understand why, but aren't we really? Well, let's talk about it in just a second.
I know where you're going. Can I just say one thing to what you're about to say?
What?
Apple did not want an app store, and so that app stores are now the biggest thing in the world is a wonderful thing.
Right.
And yes, they sort of did it first.
Right.
Although I would argue that there were obviously mobile app stores all over the place.
Oh, yeah, BlackBerry app store. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Windows Mobile had different
Windows
ones.
Mobile store,
whatever. But, okay, that's fine. But, I mean, you know, I guess there's this thing that occurs where, you know, they had this vision and they were going to do this thing and look how right they were. And it's like, you know, they went into App Store kicking and screaming and it was super successful and that's why everyone does it. But let's not forget that they didn't want to do that. That HTML web apps were the way you were going to write apps on iPhone.
Actually, that wasn't what I was going to say, but thank you for saying that.
Well, thank you for allowing me to go off on that.
I wasn't going to say. I was actually going to say
I know what you're going to say. Let me just count it before you say it.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend, is what I was going to say. And we're going to talk about
that. Oh, I totally agree with that.
We're going to talk about that in just a second. Strange bedfellows, perhaps. But first, a word from audible.com, the great place to go if you are an audio, if you love books. But like most of us, you just don't have time to get to the, you know, to read them, to open a book and turn the pages. Audible.com is such a boon. Audible is an audiobook store with 150,000 titles. All the new stuff comes up on Audible.com. Let me retype that so I can show you the site. And if you want to read the latest, you know, thrillers from Grisham, the new Stephen King. I know you're a big Stephen King fan, Paul.
That is in fact the pick.
All of their stuff is up there. But classics, too. We talked about Mark Rosinovich. All of his books are on Audible. And they're, you know, it's not some dry, robotic voice. These are They hire readers who do a beautiful job of rendering these books into really a movie in your mind. They just come alive. And I am, well, you know, yeah. We're Audible fans. I've been listening to The Martian. I've been flogging that. I love it. I'm excited. So you want to pick Mr. Mercedes?
Well, one of the nice things about being on the road is that I get to listen to more Audible, you know, because I usually try to walk every day when I'm home, and I listen for, 45 minutes or whatever. And I've been kind of burning through. I read the most recent Daniel Suarez book and then went back and listened to the first three again. I'm still on Kill Decision, which is fantastic. I was actually going to recommend, Robert Parker, who did the Spencer books, also wrote another series of books about a Massachusetts town police officer called Jesse Stone. And the first one actually isn't great on Audible, but the second one's really good. And then the new Stephen King book came out, and so that was the end of all that. recently I talked about this notion of great authors combined with great readers, narrators.
Yes, yes.
Mark Rozinovich benefits from this. Daniel Suarez does, absolutely. And Stephen King does, although there are four or five guys who are very good for Stephen King. And Will Patton, who is the guy that reads this book, is one of them. And I am not anywhere into this book to be able to tell you that it's a good book or whatever, but his last one was very good, and I love the Will Patton reading. So,
well, it's 14 hours long, which we like. It's got already 23 ratings, giving it 4 stars out of 5. Mm-hmm. In the frigid pre-dawn hours in a distressed Midwestern city, hundreds of desperate unemployed folks are lined up for a spot at a job fair. Without warning, a lone driver plows through the crowd in a stolen Mercedes, running over the innocent, backing up and charging again. 8 are killed, 15 wounded. The killer escapes. A war between good and evil. Mr. Mercedes. It's interesting because, of course, Stephen King was run over and seriously, gravely injured some years ago. And I imagine that informs a little bit of his experience in this book. Mr. Mercedes, you can get this for free. You can get almost any of the Audible books for free. Some of the longer books are 2 credits. But when you sign up at audible.com/windows for the gold account, you'll get a credit toward the book, which would include the new Stephen King novel for free. First 30 days, you pay nothing. You cancel any time. In those 30 days, you'll get to keep the book, but you won't have to pay a penny. So it's a free book for you. A $0 deal when you visit audible.com/windows. You'll also be getting the Daily Digest of the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and access to their 150,000 titles. I see I have 2 credits. I'm so excited. I love it when I have credits available. The problem is you see so many great books. It's hard to pick just one. Audible.com/windows. Get started today in the car, at work, on the treadmill at the gym, when you're cleaning up, doing the dishes, walking the dog. Audible is fantastic. John Waters hitchhikes across America.
Okay. That's great.
Okay. Carsick. Okay.
I like that it looks like a children's book.
Yeah. I don't think it probably is.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah. He narrates it. You want to? I gotta. I'm sorry, but I have to play just a little sample. Just to
gravel in the middle of an unsuspecting suburbanite's lawn if he knows he's overloaded and a way station is coming up that will be open. Suppose somebody like this guy picks me up.
Oh, boy.
Can I really give up the rigid scheduling I'm so used to in real life?
I think this actually be pretty funny. Anyway, you can see the problem here. Too many great books, not enough time. Yeah. Audible helps, though, and especially.
And by the way, it's gotten way better over time. And, a lot of the early books that are on Audible were kind of previous books on tapes, and a lot of those are kind of dry and not necessarily great.
You can really hear the difference.
It's a huge difference.
You can really hear
the new stuff.
The stuff Audible records themselves, because they take extra care, and they usually do a better job. In fact, when Audible, some of the technology books that are recorded by the publisher, Dogfight, for example, the guy pronounces it iOS throughout the book, and it just drives me crazy. Audible never does that, and that's one of the things I always look for Audible-produced books. They have the best readers, and they never make mistakes like that. That's just ridiculous.
I'm intrigued by this iOS thing, though.
I can't believe publishers let that stuff. Nobody said anything. It's bizarre.
Hey, listen, thanks for that 37-hour recording. We're going to have you do part of it over again.
Just say iOS for us 3 times. He also calls it OS X, which really drives me nuts. So anyway. So speaking of OS X and iOS, On Monday, Apple had its WWDC keynote and announced a lot of stuff. But one of the things that was very obvious to me, in fact, it's almost the theme of all their announcements, is we're going to get Google out of iOS. And when Google goes, Bing comes in.
We're going to wash that Google right out of our
hair. Although I have to say, even though Bing is used from some search results in Siri, I think much like the Google search results, Apple disintermediates. So all Google or Bing sees is an Apple request, not your request.
Right.
I think that for both Microsoft and Apple, it's a really strong selling point. It's the Scroogled thing all over again. We aren't looking at your information.
Google is nice for Apple because now they can go to Microsoft and say, see, right, this is what we were complaining about. Right. Do you get it now?
Right.
You know, this is what you did to us.
Yep. Yep. They're frenemies. As I said, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yep. You know, I didn't actually watch the Apple keynote because I didn't have an iDevice, so I wasn't able to because I was blocked.
Really? You have to have Safari, huh?
Oh, yeah. You bet.
So wow. I just was reading the live blogs, but as soon as I saw that they were talking up Bing, I pinged Microsoft and I'm like, wow, what are you guys doing with them around Bing? And I think Microsoft was caught a little off guard by them mentioning them. Because they're like, did they say something about us? You know?
Right.
So, yeah. What they ended up saying was with Spotlight, just like that deal they did with Siri, the default search results are going to be coming from Bing instead of from Google, right? So that's on iOS 8 and Mac.
And the desktop, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a pretty big deal, you know?
That's a lot of traffic going to Bing.
Yeah, the default search engine doesn't switch to Bing, but it's not that. But this is within Spotlight. So that's still a pretty interesting and pretty cool relationship.
You know, you could still launch Safari. You could still go to Google.com. Right. If you type in a search query in Safari, it'll go to Google.com. But what they're hoping is you will be much more likely to hit Control Space or whatever, and a little window pops up in the middle of the screen. And you type in, you know, how old is Mary Jo Foley? And at that point, you won't be doing a Google search. They even made this point. You're not firing up Google.
Will you be doing a Sherlock search? See how much I know about Apple, Leo?
You do. You know the Sherlock. Apple. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Spotlight basically replaced Sherlock, and ever since, whenever Apple adds a technology that kills a third-party developer, we call it being Sherlocked.
You got Sherlocked.
A lot of people got Sherlocked on Monday.
Yep. But you know what they didn't talk about that I was dying to hear them talk about more was when they talked about Apple iCloud Drive. I am really curious if that is powered by Azure, because
it's my understanding it is.
It is. Yeah. Is it? Because, you know, Microsoft wouldn't comment on that. Apple wouldn't comment on it. And a couple years ago, there were a lot of stories and rumors circulating that iCloud was actually running on Azure, and nobody could ever, as far as I know, definitively prove it, and Microsoft would never comment. And this week again, they said, we can't talk about what Apple's using to power their cloud. Sorry.
Which they wouldn't for anybody, right? I mean, that's kind of what you...
You would think somebody on the Azure team would be like super excited about that and kind of slip you a tip or something. And no, it's really
And to be really clear, we are interested in such a tip. So if you do work
on Azure, if anyone can prove that, send it our way.
Yep. I'm just looking to see if anybody knows. Yeah, I think you need to get a tipster.
Right.
Yeah.
Because since 2011, nobody has said anything.
No, it's just a lot of hearsay, and it's very believable because, I mean, to spin up a cloud.
Well, you could just follow the traffic. I think it's pretty easy to find out.
Yeah. I think.
Apple built a data center, right? I mean, they've been talking up.
They did.
The North Carolina data center.
Yeah.
And I guess they could be running OS 10 server in there. I wouldn't if I were them.
I mean, you would want to go with Amazon or Microsoft, I would think. One of the big cloud companies, if you're doing something like
this. Yeah, what a motley assortment of choices they have there, you know.
I know. They have Google, Amazon, Microsoft, maybe IBM.
Rackspace.
Rackspace.
I think that... the range and of cloud services Apple has announced in this announcement. I mean, basically, they're going after Dropbox. They're going after Google Drive. They're even going after EC EC3, Amazon's Elastic Computing Cluster, and Google's Code Engine, because they're telling developers, if you want to develop, we'll provide you with the back-end services for a fairly significant amount of data and users, and for free.
It's such a bizarre thing for them to get into, but I think it's understandable, but they get a lot of work to do. Microsoft had a hard time, and by the way, I should say, is still having a hard time keeping up with, say, AWS, you know, with Azure. I mean, right. They were late to that game. Apple has got a long ways to go before they're going to have a really solid infrastructure that's full-featured and does everything that it needs to do.
They've never done this cloud stuff well at all.
But they don't want to leave their fate in the hands of some other company, especially one that is a competitor. Yeah.
And presumably they know they've been doing a bad job. This is an opportunity for Tim Cook to put his stamp on the future of Apple. It's clear the cloud has got to...
I'd like to for Tim Cook to do something other than put up baloney numbers that make their competitors look bad in his slow southern drawl. Okay. Let me just get up from my rocker right. And get this shawl
Let's
off of
get
me.
Let's get so this out of the way. He
tell
says,
you about how much people
OS
X
Mavericks has the... this is probably a lie. The fastest adoption of any PC, operating system ever.
I couldn't care less. Mavericks is free. I actually think if you want to look at 53% or whatever the number was.
51.
You're telling me you gave this thing away and that's all
right.
That you have?
Right.
I mean, actually, I think that's kind of a bad number.
And then he said, compared to Windows 8 adoption of 14%.
Right. And that's when the record scratching sound occurred for me, because I was like, hold on a second. Let me just get this straight. You just said that the installed base of the Mac is 80 million people. So let's do some math. 80 million people is about 5.33% of 1.5 billion, which is the total installed base of PCs. So your worldwide usage share is still 5%. Okay, good. What if 50%, 40 million people are using OS X Mavericks? I wonder what 14% of 1.5 billion is. Well, how big would that number be? Would that number be bigger or smaller than 40 million? It would be 5.5 times bigger.
Yeah.
And I think that's a number that is more relevant to developers, to third-party services, to whatever. You know, that comparison is more meaningful than percentage upgrade. They love showing that very few people on Android are on the most recent version of Android, and that very many people on the latest version of iOS. And I'm not actually 100% sure that that is relevant. But I would say this is not a complete apples-to-apples comparison, if you'll pardon the pun. Later in the show, they talked about how overall there were 800 million iOS devices sold. That's not 800 million users, by the way. I'm sure every one of those people has owned at least 5 or 7 of those. Yeah. Whatever. But 800 million, I mean, that's an amazing number. There are 80 million people using a Mac. Now, again, these things are not directly comparable because it's actual number users versus devices sold. I understand that. But it is interesting that in a 7-year time frame, the iOS has exploded in usage and in sales in ways that the Mac really never did, even though that no one today would ever look at the Mac and call it unsuccessful. It's been amazingly successful. But iOS is much more successful.
Right.
And, you know, we don't exist in this world, so we don't really hear these complaints too often. But I bet Mary Jo has heard this complaint, which is we talk a lot about, oh, Office and iPad first. How could they do that? I bet there are a lot of people on the Mac side who are saying, well, hold on a second. What is this? You just released this beautiful new version of Office for iPad. Where's my new version for the Mac? This thing's been sitting here unchanged for 3 years. You've upgraded Windows.
Tons of people asking that. And also people asking, believe it or not, for OneDrive for Business for Mac. Like tons of people asking for that.
Really? Right. And by the way, that's a surprising need that I can't believe they haven't filled. Even Apple sees the same thing. And so, you know, obviously there's a lot of cheerleading that occurs at these events. And the Mac is not an insubstantial business. I don't mean that. But come on. Like, I wish they could just get past the pettiness, because they have numbers that are strong and look great and are positive, and they don't have to dump on someone else to prove their point. I mean, and I that kind of thing, I think, ruins the whole
vibe. Well, it does if for a general audience. But remember, they're speaking to developers, and I think that whole section was not so much about numbers, because obviously there are far more people by a factor of 3 using Windows 8 than are using iOS. Mavericks. But the point they're making developers is we offer a more consistent ecosystem. You can develop to the latest version of the OS because...
Safely,
yeah. Because our relevant. Users yep. on iOS and desktop tend to upgrade faster than other companies.
That's
and I think
fair.
That's a message to developers.
Fair. But I actually don't think that's as relevant as, hi, you're a developer. There are 250 million people and counting using Windows 8.
Right.
There are 40 million, million people and counting.
You're not
going to
hear that at an Apple event.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
He's not going to say, oh, by the way, we only have 80 million users. But, you know, they're nice people.
Well, by the way, there's a reason the Mac App Store has not taken off in a way that the iOS one has, that the Android one has, that, even, by the way, even Windows and Windows Phone have. You just don't hear about it. It's not a big deal. And and that 40 million numbers is why, or 80 million, whatever.
Paul, I'm going to warn you now for partner show, Microsoft partner show, when we go in July, you're going to hear a Kevin Turner speech there that is going to make this one look like a joke as far as him attacking the competitors.
Okay, but the Kevin Turner one won't be like, for public consumption and won't be on the front page of USA Today and won't be, you know, on every news show that
night.
It's
for partners. It's for partners. But, you know, whenever I tweet from what he says and he attacks Oracle and he attacks Apple and he attacks Google and people just go nuts because they're like, what he's saying isn't true. He's distorting the numbers. And it's like, it's supposed to rev people up, right?
Well, you know, you'll remember this because at the Surface event, one of the complaints I've always had about the Apple events is that these people like break out into applause, you know, and stuff. And I find that to be a little strange at kind of what I think of as a press event. But there was a moment at the Surface Pro 3 event where the audience broke out into some kind of applause. And it was very Apple-like. And that was like a weird, uncomfortable moment for me because obviously people clap at these events. But the Surface event in particular, it was only press. In fact, it was kind of a semi-exclusive event. It wasn't even a lot of press. And for that to happen, I was like, do you guys forget you weren't at an Apple event or something? What was that? We're all using MacBook Airs and you're clapping for this guy. You know?
But I do want to point out that the developer, it's a developer event. That keynote is not aimed at press. They understand press is there, but the room is mostly developers.
I get that the audience supposedly in that room is mostly developers, but
well, that's who's applauding. I mean, I always sit on my hands at any Apple event. I don't ever applaud. And I imagine there are some bloggers.
You look left and right, and you would see guys from all the news publications you know very well, and they'd all be clapping.
I don't think so. No, Paul. Really?
Really?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think in an event like that, there's more than enough Apple employees and developers to generate the applause. In fact, there were points where the applause was somewhat tepid, frankly.
Well, I by the way, this is not a subject for this podcast, and it's not something I'm going to write about. It doesn't matter. But I actually found the whole thing to be kind of tepid. I by the standards of Apple events, where they often do have really kind of exciting, neat stuff to talk about. It's been a while, you know. I don't know. There was a moment early on, and I just don't pay attention enough to be able to tell you what it was. But it was—I think it was Tim Cook, but it was early on in the show where he said something that was clearly paused for applause, and
nothing happened.
That was clearly surprising to them.
Yeah, I remember that. I don't remember what the topic was, but
But it was right up front somewhere.
But I mean, all I have to do is say, look, you know, it's not the kind of event the event that we'll see in September and October announcing new products where they'll start off with, we just like to tell you how well our retail sales are doing.
Yep.
They don't do that at this event. This is an event for developers. They're trying not to waste their time, and what they're trying to do is give them highlights of features that will be in the new OS. And they seem to stick mostly to that, including, and I'm very excited about this, finally, we're going to get Aqua, or rather Aero features in OS X. Translucency's back, baby.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, in a big way.
So many people were tweeting that, like, Aero,
Didn't Microsoft back down on that, like the translucency in Windows and
by the way, the reason that's interesting to me, and Mary Jo probably never paid attention to this, why would she, why would you, but... You know, in the early days of OS X, it will make sense when I say it. In the early days of OS X, they went through a bunch of versions very quickly, and they had a lot of translucency effects, and it created this really muddy kind of look, and it was awful.
Yeah.
And over time, they toned it down, until it got kind of flat, and really, it really pretty much wasn't translucent at all. And then Microsoft came out with Vista, and it was all bleh, like ugly translucencies. And I, you know, at the time, my criticism was, you know, Apple already figured this out. Now you're going to have to go through that same 5-year period where you tone down the translucency. So here, flash forward to 2014, and Apple's back with, you know, that's just, it's, you know,
although I have to say there was a lot of hate for the translucent menu bar when they first announced that a couple of it was a Mountain Lion, and people have gotten used to it. I kind of like the aesthetics.
Well, you know, early OS X, you would bring down a menu. And that would be translucent. Right. And the depending on the background, there was a muddiness effect that would make the text hard to read.
Exactly. And that's what you don't want. You don't want to affect usability.
Yeah. But isn't the reason Microsoft did away with Aero due to performance issues? Isn't that why they said
I think it was battery life mostly.
Battery life, yeah. So that's also kind of interesting that that's what ended up killing it off.
Well, I think cosmetics in your OS are not the thing to get all excited about. So there are other things that are going to make or break.
Yeah.
I was surprised by that, though, actually, the translucency.
Yeah, I was a little surprised.
And not in a good way. I mean, it was just like, really, like, okay, I thought
we figured this out. Now that we've kind of gotten used to the idea that they apparently are using Helvetica New as their new font, a lot of people are starting to say that's a terrible choice. It's a lot of ambiguous characters in it, and it does not scale to smaller typefaces.
I'm just really happy to hear that there are complaints like this on the Apple side, too.
Oh, yeah. I try to be as objective as I can about it.
Well, I don't mean just you. I mean, just in general. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I specifically don't mean you. In other words, that people are saying that this is not a good choice as a font. Because, you know, we were just talking about how Microsoft can't make anyone happy. Right. Clearly, Apple's.
Oh, it happens in every sphere. Believe me, there are plenty of Apple.
Huge user base.
Apple haters out there. Don't worry.
And by the way, they added translucency to iOS 7.
Right.
Which a year ago, and maybe that's what inspired them to do it again on the Mac.
Yeah, no, I really didn't like iOS 7. They are in a similar situation to Microsoft, though, that they can do end-to-end ecosystem plays. And that's a lot of what, for instance, continuity, the idea that you're working on the desktop, you move it to the tablet, you move it to the phone, and you have this continuity. And Microsoft can do the same thing. And I think that that's a smart move, something Google can't do.
Yeah. These things sort of happen here and there, you know, in Windows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Windows Phone 8.1 Developer Preview Update. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, that's the whole story because no one knows.
It is, because we don't know what it is.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to read the story for you.
If you if you have Developer Preview, there's an update available.
They won't say what was in it.
Oh.
No one ever said.
Well,
no, there's no change log. They just said, yeah, there's some reliability and performance stuff, and that's about it.
Yep.
So, Windows.
There it is.
Okay, let me read another story for you. Microsoft updates OneDrive for Windows Phone 8.1 with better photo support.
Well, that one is a little more nuanced, right?
Good.
Let's see if I can get this off the top of my head. You know, Windows Phone 8.1 includes new OneDrive sync support for high-resolution pictures. In the Lumia 1020, 1520, and Icon, and 930. So that's new. And that's in the developer preview. It's not something you have to wait for. On Xbox One, they've improved the photo experience. You can go and see all of your photos very easy, month to month, week to week, day to day view. What was the other one? On the web. They've improved the web interface for photos specifically. And so it's kind of, it's actually really nice looking.
And Walgreens. Don't forget about the Walgreens.
Oh, of course. Yeah. The Walgreens. You can.
It's actually kind of cute.
You send your photos to Walgreens and they'll have prints for you?
Yeah. Yep. Right from inside OneDrive, right?
Oh, I love that.
You literally go to the manage menu, print, you know. Yeah. I don't remember what's it.
I wonder why Walgreens.
I know.
Is that, I guess it's the only store that's everywhere?
Well,
I'd like to see a
CVS is probably. But yeah, I don't know. Walgreens.
Of all things.
Yep.
Yeah. It just feels down market.
There's some kind of a, I don't have it in the notes. I mean, Mary Jo actually did all of the notes. I don't recall the details, but in the blog post about this, there is a special code you can use for Walgreens to get some kind of money off, I think.
So it's a biz dev kind of a thing.
Yeah, and then on the business side, we have OneDrive Consumer. Then there's this thing, OneDrive for Business, that's part of SharePoint, basically. Microsoft also made an enhancement there this week. So if you're opening a document inside of Office 365, you can actually have Yammer social conversations attached to that document. So they call it document conversation. So if you're working with somebody and you're talking about this PowerPoint presentation, you guys can have your conversation alongside the PowerPoint. So that's a nice feature for people who collaborate and are using Yammer with Office 365. Nice little business enhancement.
Hey, here's a question. If I use the photos thing and get Walgreens to do the print, does the photo, I guess it does, get transferred to the Walgreens server? Because somebody in our chat room says, and I don't know if this is a benefit or not. Yeah. He says, one of the reasons my wife loves Walgreens is every time you give them photos, they stay on their server forever. So it's very easy to get extra prints for friends and family many years later.
Hmm.
That's not something I would personally want.
No.
That sounds like the reverse of a benefit. But I don't know.
Hmm. Well, I didn't have to go to their server.
Not a frequent Walgreens customer, to be honest.
All right.
Looking, I wonder if they said anything in their blog post about privacy.
Yeah.
Let's see. Because, yeah, that would be a negative, not a positive, right?
Yeah, that doesn't sound great to me.
No.
I'll tell you what.
Eventually,
does sound
the
great.
EU will force Walgreens to have a forget
right,
you clause
right
in there.
To forget my photos.
It doesn't really say. It just says select the photos on your OneDrive, click manage, choose order prints, and you can pick them up in an hour. The special code is OneDrive if you want the 25% discount. But it doesn't say anything about privacy there.
Hmm. Maybe they somewhere just use there's it like a remote printer. You know, right. It's like print to
which would be
Walgreens.
The best way to do it, right? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Somewhere there's a EULA that says.
Yeah.
Oh, there sure is.
Yep.
That your photos are now the property of Walgreens. You're going to see them in a TV ad in 3 months.
Yeah, something like that, I'd like to know. Windows 7 now with more than 50% desktop share.
Yep.
Congratulations.
This is the first time it's past 50%, actually, which is interesting. This is net applications data from the latest month. Windows 7, 50.6% of the desktop share. XP still there at 25%. Windows 8, 6. Windows 8, 1, 6. Vista, 2. So, yeah. There you have it. So, back to our earlier points in the show. A lot of people are just getting into Windows 7 or running Windows 7, and it's a big thing to expect, especially enterprise customers, to jump to 8 right now with everybody kind of standardizing around 7.
Well, there's nothing wrong with 7. It's a very
I'm
nice
running
OS.
7. I run 7 on my main machine still. It's working just fine.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Well, I have to admit, I am finally coming around to the idea that Windows 8 is perfectly fine, and I'm used to it now. And
8.1,
Leo,
I like
it. Sounds like you're coping with cancer or something.
It's okay.
The treatments are kind of kicking in.
8.1 is good on my laptop. I really like it on the laptop. I think 7 is really good on my desktop.
Fine.
I'm a mixed mode shop here.
All right.
It's
you know what?
The hoppy OS of Windows releases.
Notepad is available everywhere, and that's
exactly,
the beauty
guys.
Of it, baby. No matter where you go, there you are.
Yep.
Our show today, we're going to take a break and come back with the back of the book. Our show today brought to you by our great friends at ZipRecruiter.com. We were just sitting in the, I mentioned this engineering meeting. I do one meeting a year. I was sitting in the engineering meeting this year, and we're posting for some jobs. And we said, well, we got some resumes. And they said, well, wait, because we haven't put it on ZipRecruiter yet. What were we waiting for? The best way to post jobs, ZipRecruiter.com. Now we know the qualified candidates are going to pour in. Because ZipRecruiter is a very smart thing. It posts not to just one site, but to 50, actually more than 50 job sites at once. Everywhere, Craigslist and Monster, Facebook and LinkedIn. Yes, it does the social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus. Job.com, The Ladders, Juju. I never heard of some of these. Glassdoor, and many, many more. You're going to love ZipRecruiter. You post once, and it goes to 50-plus job boards and the social networks. They'll add your company logo and colors so that your job listing looks like an extension of your business. You can create an instant job page on your website, include a company's career page to use for your careers link. You post it once, and the qualified candidates roll in, And what I love is their interface automatically highlights the best candidates so you can easily screen them, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Like, really fast. ZipRecruiter.com. Try it and you'll find out why more than 100,000 businesses, including ours, use ZipRecruiter. Our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for a free 4-day trial. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/windows and you'll get 4 days free. 50-plus job boards with a single click. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. We love it. All right, Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, let me turn your mics back on. Here it is, time for the back of the book, the part I look forward to each and every week. First, our tip of the week with Mr. Paul Thurrott.
Yeah, so the tip this week is for Xbox Live Gold subscribers. Actually, there are two parts to this. One is that, as you probably know, on an ongoing basis since about a year ago, Microsoft has been doing a Games for Gold promotion.
I keep forgetting to get that game.
Yeah, so it's 2 games a month. The way it works is for the first half of the month, you get access to one game for free. Second half of the month, you get access to the second one.
And then it's gone, right? So you don't get to, like, go back and get all the games you
could. Right. I mean, once you have it, it's in your collection forever and all that kind of stuff.
So
the important thing is to go get it, yeah. Of course, when the Xbox One came out, one of the big questions was, when are we going to get Games for Gold? And so, actually, that starts this month.
Well,
and
good.
So as of June 1st now, this the very first Ooh. Xbox One Game for Gold is available. Okay. The other thing is, because it is the one-year anniversary, Microsoft is actually providing 3 games this month on the Xbox 360. So if you have a 360, let's see how this works. It's Dark Souls is the game that is available for free for the first half of the month. A game called Charlie Murder is the game for the second half. And then Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition is, I think this is, yeah, the one-year Games with Gold anniversary bonus. And so it actually will only be available for the second half of the month. Instead of the full month, which maybe would have made more sense. On Xbox One, I'm not home, so I'm not sure which is available. But the two this month are going to be Max, The Curse of Brotherhood, and Halo Spartan Assault. I've played Halo Spartan Assault on actually on a variety of platforms. It's available on Windows, it's on phone, it's on Xbox 360, and it's on Xbox One. That's a great game. Maybe someone in the chat room knows which one of these is available now. But these are both, you know, like this kind, they're not like the full $60... you know, retail package games. These are, you know, $10 to $15 digital downloads because, you know, the Xbox One's still pretty new, obviously. But something just to be aware of. So if you have Xbox One, you know, you'll need a better source than me because I can't figure out which one is available now, but one of the two is available. The other thing that happened was in tandem with the announcement about those 45 new entertainment apps that are coming to Xbox One and Xbox 360 and also the expiration of the Xbox Live Gold requirement for so many of those apps, for which you will need the June system update for whichever system you happen to be using, you can now get a free 3-month subscription to Hulu Plus on Xbox. And so just, you know, install the app, sign in, you know, create an account or sign in, and you'll get your your 3 months for free. And so you can kind of test that service for free.
Somebody said I can get the games on my log in on my computer and say I want that. So I don't have to actually download it because I'm worried about drive space, frankly.
Yeah, right. So, by the way, one of the things that's in the new system update for Xbox One is the support for external storage, which will somewhat eliminate that worry because you'll be able to put stuff on
USB. Just like a USB drive and put it there? Oh, that's
great. Yeah, I when you were doing the last ad there, I actually went on to the store to look at those two games to see if I could see which one was free. But in the store, it doesn't say free. It has the actual prices, so I'm not sure. I wasn't able to figure that out while you were doing that. Sorry.
Well, I haven't got the update yet, so I don't know. Okay.
You don't need the update for the game. I guess you would need it for Hulu Plus.
Right. Okay.
But if you have Xbox Live Gold.
Which I do.
Oh, of course, which you need. Right, of course. You need it for that. Of course. You do need Xbox Live Gold.
Right.
So the software pick of the week, and actually I've kind of have two. Actually, I'll do the second one first because it's tied to what we were just talking about. Also in tandem with all this Xbox One stuff that's happening, Microsoft has updated the version of the Xbox One Smart Glass app, which is that mobile app for, it's on Windows 8.
Yeah, I use
dot
it.
X,
yeah, I love it.
Windows Phone 8. 8.1 iOS and Android.
Yep.
Now has universal remote capabilities, among other things. And so that allows you to control your cable, satellite box, and TV through Xbox One using that mobile device. And so it's like a true universal remote capability. So you can grab that. And if you have it installed, I mean, you'll get that update for free, automatically, I should say. $0. The other software pick, the original software pick, is that Chrome has just released the first pre-release version of 64-bit version. Did I say Chrome? Google has just released the first pre-release version of a 64-bit version of the Chrome web browser for Windows. Chrome uses different channels to deliver this product to people. So there are beta and stable channels, which are kind of mainstream channels. And then they have what they call canary and dev channels, which target really super early builds for canary, like canary in the coal mine. And then dev is obviously aimed at developers. So if you download the canary or dev version of Chrome today, what you'll get is the 64-bit version of Chrome. And what does the 64-bit version of Chrome give you? It gives you 64 bits.
Twice as many.
No, no, it's supposedly it's 25% faster, if I'm remembering the figure correctly. It's more stable. And what was the other thing? There's one more. Let's see. Yeah, 25% faster. Yeah, oh, better security. They were very vague on why this was better security. But I know from when Microsoft moved Windows to 64 bits itself, there were some inherent benefits of 64-bit computing with relation to such things as like ASLR and I forget the name of all this stuff now, but there's just stuff built into Windows that I think that this takes advantage of, and then it's also more stable than the 32-bit version. And
not saying that not necessarily though if you're running Canary, because that's
right. Right. So the point of this now is if you want to see what this is like, and I'm running it. There's a couple of minor little UI things you'll notice. I do a lot of things in forums in Chrome because I post my articles to the web using Chrome. And actually, the forums, I guess you call them controls, I have improved a lot. I actually, you know, we were complaining a couple of months ago when they went to non-standard controls in Chrome. They've improved some of those controls in this release, which I like, which has nothing to do with 64 bits, but I haven't noticed any differences performance-wise or usability-wise beyond that. I assume it can chew memory just as bad as the 32-bit version. Maybe it's twice as bad. I don't know. I'm not really sure, but I think this will be. This is probably going to become the mainstream version of Chrome pretty quickly. I'd be surprised if this wasn't.
Oh, yeah,
in fact,
I'm sure they're all, you know,
the way this is going.
Yeah, 64. Hey, just a question about the Xbox. Sorry, Mary Jane. Mm-hmm. So this new version will allow me to plug in a USB 3 drive into the Xbox One, and that'll be extending the storage?
Yep, and you can pick and choose how you want to do it. You can add it to the existing storage. You can choose where games go, individual games when you download one. You can say I want it to go over there. If you want to use that external storage instead of the internal storage, you can do that.
So I'm just thinking, I can buy for like $108 a 3-terabyte USB 3 drive. Just plug that into the back, and that's all you do?
I would be surprised if there isn't already someone right now benchmarking whether it makes sense to put an SSD external drive and replace the internal hard drive and get better performance. I'm sure there's all kinds of applications here, but so that comes. If you go home, it's possibly already on your Xbox One. Software update.
Well, that's nice. I'd love to do that because I mean I'm not yet out of space, but I just with all these free games.
And, you know, when you buy, the games are humongous.
They're
crazy humongous.
You really can only get 5 games maybe on the stock drive.
I know, and some of the less sophisticated games, you know, when you update them, the updates are humongous.
Right.
It's crazy how big they are. So,
well, I'm going to buy this external drive and just have it that way. You know, I'll be able to, I don't care if it loads slow. I mean, yeah, SSD might speed up the loads, but who cares in that regard. Your software pick of the week was Chrome. Okay, so we're going to move on. Mm-hmm. That means it's time for Mary Jo Foley and her enterprise pick of the week.
It is. It's time for some rational, not irrational, Hadouberance.
Hadouberance!
Yep, I didn't make that up.
Oh, that's what that says.
Herb Adrian at Gartner coined that one, I think.
Hadouberance.
Hadouberance. I love that word. It's a good one.
That's for people who are adupers who are extra exuberant.
Exactly. Whoa. And the reason we're extra exuberant this week is there's a new preview version of HD Insight on Azure, and that's the Microsoft Apache Hadoop on Azure product or service. And this new preview is interesting because it's built on Hadoop 2.4, which, according to Microsoft, can provide orders of magnitude of performance enhancements up to 100 times.
Whoa.
up to 100 times faster queries on Azure Blobs. And you also get to leverage some of the benefits of Yarn. Yarn is another part of Hadoop that basically separates out cluster resource management from MapReduce, which is a programming framework.
It's the part of Hadoop cats love best.
It is. And today's Hug a Cat Day, so it's very appropriate. We're talking about Yarn.
That's incredible.
I don't know why I know that, but I do love cats.
Do you
cats.
Have a cat?
Cats love
I don't have
hugs,
a cat so now. We go from Hadoop to cats all in one little
tip. It's everything it's Mary awesome. Jo likes best.
It is. Kale smoothies, cats, and Hadoop all in one show.
I think all we have it. A title, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, so that's my Kale pick smoothies. Of the week is the new preview of HD Insight on Azure.
All right.
It takes advantage of Hadoop 2.4.
Don't understand a word she said, ladies and gentlemen, except for cats and yarn.
Kale smoothies.
Kale
cats.
Smoothies.
And
I'm
what
still
else?
Drinking my and Hadoop. Kale smoothie.
Oh, and Hadoop.
Kale smoothie is right. still, it's right at the end of it now.
Oh. Kale smoothie, we hardly knew ye.
It looks like mulch or something.
It's exactly like mulch.
Mulched up kale.
It is mulch.
It is. Yes.
And our reorg rumor of the week.
Yeah, I decided instead of a code name to do a rumor of the week. And this is a rumor I'm pretty sure is true, but again, I can't completely prove it. I think Microsoft just reorged its Office team at the end of May. And I believe the way they reorged it is to organize around like four key hubs is the way it's been described to me. So this is very interesting what these hubs are, because right up until now we've talked about Office client and Office server, right? But now they're taking things that were in client and server and kind of mushing them together as part of the whole one Microsoft thing. So here's what gets grouped together. Outlook.com and Exchange are one group. SharePoint, OneDrive, and OneDrive for Business are a group. Link and Skype are a group. We already knew that one. And OneNote, because it's so important to Microsoft, gets its own group.
That's wow.
So I think,
wow.
Yeah, this is super weird and interesting, and it kind of gives you some feel for what to expect to see from Microsoft when we see future iterations of Office. Office 365 also sits with the same team as Exchange, Outlook, and Outlook.com.
I mean, I'm not sure what the background of this is, but, you know, Outlook.com and OneDrive are or were not part of Office, right? So this is...
They were part of Windows. Now they are part of the Chi Lu group called Applications and Services Group.
That's interesting.
Very different.
I'm happy that they consider OneNote that important.
I'm stunned. And it reiterates the need for me to learn how to use OneNote, which I'm still struggling with. Yeah. I think now I've really got to try to learn this.
Well, especially with your Surface Pro 3.
Yeah. And not just that, too, but I think future products will be taking advantage of OneNote or building on OneNote.
Yeah.
It's going to be... I don't want to say I'm getting rid of Notepad. Let's not get too drastic, but let's not go crazy. But you know, I do want to try to learn OneNote, and actually on Twitter this week, people have been sending me a ton of links, so I'm assembling all those, and probably will write a post about how to learn OneNote if you don't want to, nice. You know, buy a book or do something crazy like that.
I'd like to buy a book. Maybe Paul Perot.
Or we can have Paul.
Right. Did I hear someone wants to buy a book?
Yes. Does someone want to buy a OneNote book for $2? You might write it.
Someone asked me just today if I had a OneNote book.
Oh, see.
The OneNote Bible. Finally, we got to do some beer here. Our beer pick of the week, because you know, later today we'll be throwing a little beer bash to say goodbye to Liz Romero, who is moving to New York City.
Oh, she's leaving today?
Friday's her last day, but we thought we'd get her drunk now, and that way we'll have fun on Thursday and Friday. It'll be hysterical.
Yeah, so this week the beer picks are from Paul, because he's in Colorado.
What? Oh.
Right. Yes. Mary Jo, I'm going to be visiting the Odell's Brewery today to do a tour.
Oh, man. Awesome. Yep. You've gone to so many good places on your trip.
We went to Avery, and I should have just been wearing sandals and like a robe, because it was a religious experience.
Wow.
And then yesterday we went to New Belgium, which is always incredible.
Man. I've got to go out there.
So you're saying that when I went to visit my son and we went to see the Coors plant,
that might not have been you taking advantage of our visit to Colorado in
perhaps
every.
Perhaps not.
That's incredible.
Really? That's not a great thing, huh? I have pictures of the.
I mean, it looked cool. I remember you showed us your pictures. It looks cool.
The giant mash tons.
Yep.
Big things are cool. Like the Death Star is awesome looking, but
it doesn't make great beer. Yeah, I know. I hear what you're saying. It's not great for beer.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So tell us about your effete experience.
I've been racking up the frequent flyer miles on Untapp this week, but two have kind of stood out for me. The first one is from New Belgium, which has a line of beers that they call Lips of Faith, and I almost always love them, but. This one in particular is really good. It's actually Wild Squared, double. This to me is just, it's perfect. It's like dark, kind of malty, spicy. They say it has, I wanted to know if either of you heard of this. It supposedly is flavored with something called Shisandra berries.
No mm-hmm. idea.
No yes, idea what
I've
that is.
I've heard of it. I have. Okay. It's something that's in some organic and natural drinks. I think it's supposed to be like high in antioxidants.
Yeah,
it's what
they make.
Kind of like a kale smoothie, but beer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I felt like it was very healthy. until I stood up to leave. That one was nearly perfect. And a lot of their Lips of Faith beers are just amazing. Avery, which is possibly my favorite brewery anywhere, they had something I'd never had before. In fact, they have a bunch of beer that they only have there at the brewery. And I'm not positive if this is one of them or not, but it's called Hog Heaven Barley Wine Beer. And I actually really like barley wine beers. I don't know if I wrote this in the notes, but I sort of think of them as like the port of beer in a way. They tend to be very dark and intense, and they're always very high in alcohol, almost always very high in alcohol. And possibly my favorite beer of all time is a barley wine beer from Massachusetts right down the street. And I think I gave one to Mary Jo recently. This was just about as good. It was fantastic. And if you can get if you can get either one of these beers or any beer from either of these places, I mean, both New Belgium and Avery are just institutions out here. They're just wonderful.
I'm going to Milwaukee to tour the Budweiser plant. Is that
thanks? I told you, I took my kids to Heineken, and they were complaining because, this was like an adult thing, and they couldn't even drink the beer. And I said, Mark, this beer is water. If you want to drink it, go nuts.
I'll have no problem with that, you said.
Yeah.
Go ahead, my son. Drink all you want. It sucks.
Right. It sure does.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes this thrilling edition of Beer and Kale Talk.
A little bit of beer, a little bit of kale, a little bit of Hadoop.
A little yarn. Our show appears every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC on Twit TV. Just tune in and watch it live if you can. If you can't, we got on-demand audio and video after the fact at twit.tv/ww, or you can use our great apps on the Roku, iPhone, Android. And thanks to Dimitri Lealin, a beautiful app on Windows Phone. He's done a great job with that. Xbox Music, the podcast app. There's lots of places to get this show. Do subscribe. You'll get it every week. More watch live and come back here next week. We'd love to see you. Paul Thurrott is at the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. Mary Jo Foley at ZDNet, allaboutmicrosoft.com. Have a great week. I'll tip one for you tonight in honor of Liz.
Yes. Leo, I will tip several for you tonight in honor of Fort Collins, Colorado.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Windows Week. What are you having? A nice iced tea there?
It's a kale smoothie.
Yep, I'm speechless. It finally happened.
We are speechless.
And it's in my glass that says, beer is my friend.
That just got like two completely blank stares. I got nothing. You want to start the show?